1 John chapter 1. Very familiar portion of scripture that we all should memorize. 1 John chapter 1 verses 9 and 10, if you'll stand with me as we say our memory verse this morning. 1 John chapter 1 verses 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. 1 John 1, 9 and 10. I'll say it again, please. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for the opportunity and privilege it is this morning to be here in this church, in this sanctuary, with this body of believers. I pray this morning Your Holy Spirit would be among us all, touching our hearts, dear Lord, and speaking through us and letting us understand the Scriptures, illuminating the Scriptures for us. And I pray, dear Lord, this morning that You would help us all to glean something from Your Word that will help us in our Christian lives. And Lord, if there's one here today that does not know You, I pray today is their day of salvation. Convict their heart this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name we pray and ask this, amen. You may be seated. We'll begin this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 as we continue our study this week on Greek words every Christian should know. Now again, I'm not trying to make anyone a Greek scholar, and I am by far not a Greek scholar. But as we have progressed these last 4 weeks, I believe, we're starting to see some unique definitions of some words in the Bible that will help us understand our Bible that much more and what God and what Christ has done for us. As we looked in the first couple weeks, the word tetelestai, and it means what, class? It is finished. When Christ was hanging on the cross, His sixth thing, before He gave up the ghost, He said, it is finished. Or He said tetelestai, which is in the Greek. And it means everything has been paid in full. It has been completely done. It's perfect. Everything that the Father has asked Him to do, it has been done. We can add nothing to His work on the cross for our salvation. It is finished. And then as we continued this study in the second week, we saw the word sozo. And sozo means what, class? Saved. To be saved and to be made whole. So when we were lost in our sins and we were walking among this world and as a person of unbelief and not knowing Christ as our Savior, we were not saved. We were not protected. We were not preserved. And we had a hole in our lives, an emptiness. And that word sozo means that we have been redeemed, yes, we have been saved. But it also means we have been preserved, we have been protected, and we have been made whole. Praise the Lord for that. And then this last week, we looked at the next step in this progression of Greek words. We looked at the word baptizo, which means what, class?
To be baptized.
And we saw how the baptismal waters mean nothing completely, doesn't take away our sins, does not add to our salvation, it does not make us more spiritual or holy than those that have not been baptized. It is just that first step of obedience as a Christian that we are to follow the example of Christ and that example that has been laid down in the Scriptures for us. Baptizo. This week we come to the next progression. If you've noticed, we're sort of taking a progressive step through the New Testament from the day that we can accept Christ as our Savior. We have that choice through the choice of salvation to baptism. And today we come to the next logical step. And this word this week is peripateo. I don't know if anybody ever watched Perry Mason in years gone by, the old Perry Mason. But you say the first part of this word is peri. It's peri, like the name Perry, the man's name, peri. And then pateo, peripateo. And it simply means to walk. But it means so much more than that in our Bibles. And in the Greek, as our New Testaments were translated into Greek language, and then into the English language, there's really 3 to 4 words in our Bibles that are translated to walk. But they come from 3 to 4 different Greek words. And they all mean something very unique very different. And this week we're just looking at one of those, the one that is utilized the most in the New Testament, and it's peripateo. So as we come to this next logical step, we've seen how God has given us the choice of salvation. He has said that if you believe on my Son and you believe in His finished work on the cross, you may be saved, you may be redeemed. And then once you are redeemed, you should take the next step of obedience and follow my Son's example of baptism and go into the waters. And we looked at immersion, and that is the appropriate way, the proper way. And we explained that through the definitions of the word baptizo. And then this week, after we have accepted Christ as our Savior and we have been baptized, the next logical thing is we start walking for God. We start living our lives in a godly example for others. So the Christian, as we take this next step-by-step progression through the Christian life, the next logical step is our walk. So peripateo is translated to walk in our New Testament Bibles. That is the primary definition. And someone has said that physically, walking is one of the best forms of exercise. It works more muscles than any other activity. It develops circulation and helps our circulation. It improves breathing. It helps our cardiovascular. It strengthens our heart. So spiritual walking, walking for God and in the obedience of God and His commandments, works also similar. It exercises the muscles of our spiritual life. It increases the circulation of the doctrine of the Word of God into our hearts and in our souls and improves the application of what we're learning as we're walking. And it edifies or strengthens our body as we try to live for God. Physical walking, if you go to a physician today and you're like me, a little bit overweight, maybe a lot overweight, he's going to say you need to start walking. Just a few minutes a day and increase that. Well, in your spiritual life, if you've started slipping back and serving God or not really following the examples of the New Testament believers and the Word of God, the first thing a spiritual doctor would say is you need to start walking for God. You need to start obeying what you know the Scriptures say to do. The simple things, the basic things. Be faithful to the house of God. Open your Bible and read it and study it. Memorize Scriptures. Talk to others about Christ. Those simple things, those basics, prayer, talking to your Heavenly Father, that is the spiritual walk. Well, there's much more than that, but that are the basics. Peripateo is used 97 times in the Scriptures, in the New Testament. It is used primarily to describe literal walking, physical step-by-step motion in the Bible, to walk around or to go about or to do. Matthew 4:18, we can see an example of this, if you'll go with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, the Word of God says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishers." So the third word in verse 18 is peripateo. And Jesus walking is a literal translation of the meaning. And we can look at other scriptures. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 5, it says, whether the four friends have lowered the invalid man in the bed to the feet of Christ, and he's going to heal him from his sins, and then he's going to heal his body and let him pick up his bed and go back home. It says, whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. It's a physical step-by-step motion. That's peripateo. Again, in Matthew 14, verse 25, it says, "In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." It's a literal step-by-step motion. Walking. That's peripateo. But it means more than just literal walking, step-by-step motion. It also means figuratively to describe the spiritual lifestyle of the individual believer. To conduct oneself or to behave in a particular manner. Look with me in Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. So throughout the gospel records, you see the word walk, and it's talking about somebody moving and going somewhere. That's peripateo. But now let's look at the other aspect of this word. in Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. A believer can walk one of two ways. We can walk after the flesh, or we can walk after the Spirit. Now, what does Romans chapter 8 and verse 4 tell us to do? That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We should be walking after the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. He will give us direction if we ask Him. But you know what I've learned through studying the Scriptures? He will not give us direction until we first obey Him. Obedience proceeds direction. And that is a principle found throughout the Word of God. He will not provide us the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. He will not show us His will for our lives until we obey Him. Whatever we are holding back and not obeying God in, He's not providing that direction we need. You're like, I want to know the will of God for my life. I want to know what You want me to do with my life, Lord. I want to know Your will for this particular decision or this question I have. Well, are you obeying Him 100% in everything He's told you to do? You must obey before you get the direction. I challenge you, look at the Word of God throughout the Bible and see when someone's looking for direction, he must first obey. So we can walk by the old nature or we can walk by the new nature. Look with me again in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, the Word of God says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." And we talked about when we got saved, we got redeemed, we made whole, the old nature didn't go away. We still have that old nature and we're dragging it around everywhere we go. And I told you, I believe that there was someone that told me years gone by that there's like a war going on inside of you. And it's like a white dog and a black dog. The old nature and the good and the new nature. And they're warring against each other, fighting for control daily. Moment by moment in your life, they're fighting for control. And whoever you feed the most is winning at that moment in time. If you feed the flesh, he's going to win that moment in time in your life. If you're feeding the Spirit of God and the new nature with the Word of God and prayer and talking to other people about Christ, then that nature is going to win at that moment in time. You must feed the new nature of God through the Word of God. It says, feed on my Word or eat the words of my book. It's saying, feed on me. We must live by the new nature, not the old nature, if we want to please God. If we want to walk, or peripateo, if we want to walk pleasing God, walking in a particular manner. You think God just does it, well, they're saved, they're baptized, they can walk however they want. That's not God's plan for us. He wants us to walk a particular way and in a particular manner. That's what peripateo means, to walk in a particular, specific way, to conduct oneself in a particular way, our walk. Look with me in Galatians chapter 5. You say, man, you turn to a lot of scriptures. Well, I don't have anything to say. It's the Word of God that has everything to say. And that's how the Holy Spirit convicts us and teaches us through His Word. So yes, I'm going to look at a lot of scripture. Galatians chapter 5, look with me in verse 16. Paul is writing to the church of Galatia, and he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit. How in the world do we walk in the Spirit? It's a great question. How do we walk in the Spirit of God? We will not know how to live for God if we're not in His book. We won't. And reading the verse of the day is not going to feed your spirit to get you through the day. I'll tell you, reading a chapter a day might not get you enough food for the day to get you through that day. And 2 Timothy tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God. Study is hard work. To get into this book and to understand what this book is telling us to do takes work. And we said, I don't have time. I said, I know we're all busy. We're all busy. And I love my sleep just as like everybody else loves their sleep. But what if we set our alarm clocks for another 30 minutes earlier every morning? And we don't schedule anything for that 30 minutes other than to read the Word of God and to pray. You think we would get enough food to help us a little better that day? I think so. I challenge everyone here. Set your alarm clock another 30 minutes early. And read the Scripture. Don't set anything. I'm going to fix my lunch for the day in that 30 minutes. I'm going to set my clothes. No. Set that time aside to be with God and Him alone. Get somewhere where there's no distractions. Find that quiet place where you can get alone with God and pray. And as I've said before you even open this book, pray to the Holy Spirit that He will be with you and illuminate the Scriptures and guide you through the Scriptures. That you will be ready to receive what He's getting ready to give you and that you would understand it. That's how we can walk in the Spirit of God. Also, it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, how is this done? For we walk by faith, not by sight. If God had allowed us to walk by sight, if He had come like He did to Saul on the Damascus Road and He appeared and He said, I am Jesus. How much life would have been easier to walk the Christian life? We just say, oh, if we lived back in the days of the Bible and we lived with Peter and James and John and we walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, how much more it would be easy to serve God? We have the complete revelation of God before us. They didn't. We have the complete Word of God before us. Let us get in it. And what we read will strengthen our faith that we don't have to worry about walking by sight. We can walk by faith. Because what we read strengthens what we believe. And He will make Himself known to us through circumstances or other Christians or His creation. He will show Himself to us. We don't have to see Jesus to serve Him on this world. Now, I long for the day to see my Savior face to face. I can't wait for that day. But some days I'm like, please don't come today, Jesus. I'm not serving You the best I should be. I'm not the right kind of Christian right now. I know if You came right now, I'd be ashamed. And if we were honest, we'd be the same way. We'd say, Lord, every moment of every day, I might not be my best for You. Help me to be ready to walk by faith and to walk by the Spirit of God to be ready for You to come every moment of every day. In 2 John, there's only one chapter in 2 John, but look with me there in 2 John. And verse 4. 2 John verse 4. The Apostle John is writing near the end of his life. Probably have only a few years left to live for God. And he's writing this letter. In 2 John he writes in verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. We can walk by the old nature in this life, or we can walk by the Spirit of God in the new nature. We can walk, as it says here, walking in truth. And then in verse 6 it says, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that as we have heard from the beginning, we should walk in it. We should walk in His commandments. We know what He's told us to do. Are we 100% obedient Christians? We need to examine ourselves and examine our hearts and examine our walk. Are we following the commandments of God? They weren't just set aside as, well, if you feel like it. No, they were commandments. from the Creator of the universe, He said, I want you to do these things. And we Christians were like, well, I don't know. Maybe I don't need to do all of those things all of the time. God will understand. No, He won't. He's going to hold you accountable just as He's going to hold me accountable. He said to do these things. Walking a Christian is either advancing or retreating. To advance, a believer must walk according to God's plan. Stay in fellowship, grow in Christ, or we can retreat as a Christian in our walk and in the spiritual life to slip back from living a life as a godly example to others. More like living a carnal, fleshly nature life. I've had years in my life that I didn't live for God. After I was saved, you're like, oh, don't be surprised. You were probably there too. But I've had years where I was out of church. And I was mad at God. Confused with God and wondering what in the world He was doing in my life. Sad to say, but those years I have scars from. But it's also built me up to be a better, stronger Christian. Because now I can look back at those days and say, I want never to be back in a retreating step for God. I want to always be advancing, following His commandments in my walk. A believer should also walk worthy of the Lord. It says in Colossians chapter 1, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Boy, there's a lot in that verse. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We are to walk worthy of the Lord. Now, we can never be at a place in our lives where we say, we're worthy of this salvation. And if you think that, you need to get that out of your mind. We are not worthy of this salvation. We are not worthy of a home in heaven. We are not worthy to be called joint heirs with Christ. We are nothing without Christ. But with Christ, we are something. We are joint heirs. We could call Christ our brother, but I don't feel worthy to call Him my brother. We cannot walk worthy of this life without the Lord. We are also asked to, well, let's look at another verse of that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 2, 12, it says us to walk worthy of the Lord. Look at verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2, or I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. We should walk worthy of God. There's a particular way God wants us to walk. There is a specific way He wants us to conduct ourselves. And one of those ways is to walk worthy of God. It says again in Ephesians 4, 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith He hath called you. Walking worthy. Look with me in Romans chapter 6. We are also to walk in newness of life. We looked at this last week. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He has given us a new step. Once we accepted Christ as our Savior, we have a new lease on life. That slate has been wiped clean. God looks at us through Christ as we were never a sinner. A new life. What are we going to do with it? somebody that's had a horrible heart attack and actually died, and they had to defibrillate them and they bring them back to life. They've given a new life. What are they going to do with it? We have been defibbed, and we have been given a new life for God. What are we going to do with this life? We should walk in the newness of life. We should also walk in love. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice of God for a sweet-smelling savor." We should walk in love. Think what Christ did for us. Do you ever meditate on what Christ did for us in those final few hours and that final day, what he did for us, and even the whole 33 and a half years or 33 and a third years or however you want to claim those years that life lived on earth? Can you imagine leaving the glories of heaven to come to be born as a baby in a manger? Christ had everything. Everything. The angels worshiped him. He says, "Father, I'll go and become a babe in a manger where the cattle eat their food," is where he was laid after he was born. And he lived a life where his people mocked him and ridiculed him, to the place they wanted to kill him. He did that for you and for me. Do you ever meditate on what Christ did for us and his love for us? That'll make us walk different. He wants us to walk as children of light. In Ephesians 5:8, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." Walk as children of light. Do we walk as children of light, or do we still sort of slip back into that darkness and walk in that darkness? Remember the children of Israel? God has brought them out miraculously from the land of Egypt with the 10 plagues on Egypt. And what do they say in the wilderness consistently to Moses? "I wish we were back in Egypt. I wish we were back in Egypt. It was better in Egypt." They don't remember what it was like in Egypt. Boy, it was nice to be able to go to these places. Before I got saved, I enjoyed some of those places. Or I enjoyed some of those friends. And get away from that life. God has saved you from that life. Get away from that life. Don't walk back in Egypt. Don't walk back in the old world and the old nature and the flesh. Get away from that and live for God and advance for God in your Christian life. Walk as children of light. And walk as an example to others. Philippians 3, verse 17, look with me there. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. The Word of God says, "Brethren," this is to believers, "brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." Walk, Paul is telling these Philippian church members, walk so others can mark you as a good example. Or are they going to mark you as a bad example? People watch us daily. You know, when you probably pulled out of your driveway this morning, people, neighbors, were watching to see if you're going to church today. We've had people come to us and say, "Is everything all right? We noticed you didn't go to church Wednesday night or Sunday night or something. Oh, somebody was sick or somebody was out of town or one of the extra cars was in the driveway, but we went to church," or some circumstance, but neighbors are watching us. We'll have friends or family know not to call us during church hours because we're in church. What kind of example have you been marked as? Walk as an example to others. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received us of us, how ye ought to walk to please God, so walk." Let me read that again. "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." Paul is telling them, "I have taught you how to walk. I've shown you how to walk. Look at me as an example, but look at God and look at the Word of God and Follow the example that has been given you and to please God. Do we want to please the Lord with our walk? Do we? Do we want to please the Lord with our spiritual walk and our literal walk? If the answer is yes, then we must follow His commandments. And we should walk according to how He has instructed us from His Word. How are we to do this? Let us look at a second part of the definition of peripateo. We have learned that it means to walk literally and figuratively. But it also means to make one's way by pressing toward a goal. We all have a goal. We have a goal of reaching heaven, serving the Lord faithfully, and hearing our Savior say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I pray that's the goal for every Christian here. It means to make one's way by progressing toward a goal. It also means to make use of opportunities that are before you. And it also means to regulate one's life. You know what regulate means? To control according to rules, principles, and laws. We have been shown through this book what God expects us to do, how He expects us to walk, how He expects us to peripateo. He has given us the rules and the principles and the guidelines and the laws. And He's saying, here is how I expect you to live. Here is the standard. Are you going to walk by it? Are you going to press toward a goal? Are you going to make use of the opportunities God gives you? As believers walk, make one's way by progressing toward a goal, we unfortunately are all crawling on all fours most of the time. I saw an example of this just last night while I was studying someone on a balance beam. And he's crawling on all fours on this balance beam. And all the while he's talking to God and he's saying, "God, I trust You. I know You're with me. I believe You. I know You're going to be with me step by step by step." But he's on all fours. He's scared to get up and walk on two legs across this balance beam. That's how we walk in our Christians' lives. We're crawling around on all fours, scared to get up and trust God for the next step and the next step and the next step. We know God's with us, but we're afraid to get up on all fours. If we would stand up and we would take those steps on that balance beam of life, and we would walk across that balance beam praising the Lord and thanking the Lord and knowing He's with us, that's living a life of peripateo. Trusting God for every step. If we attempt to stand up and walk for God, tests are going to come. The devil is going to attack. Obstacles are going to be right in front of us every day. If we take our eyes off the Lord and we look at our surroundings and we look at all that's going on, what's going to happen? We're going to be just like Peter and we're going to start sinking into the sea. We're going to say, "Lord, save us." So do we get back on up all fours? Or do we get back up on two legs and we say, "I'm going to do this again for God. I'm going to get right back up. I'm going to try it again." Our Father desires for us to live the Christian life by walking upright. Progressing toward a goal. Making full use of the opportunities around us. So that we might receive the honor and glory that give Him the honor and glory to get through this life by His strength and His power and not by our own. You know, it tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll close with this if you'll look at it with me. Hebrews chapter 12. You say, "If I don't look at it, will you not close?" Hebrews chapter 12. Look with me. Very familiar portion of Scripture, but look at it in this light, in this study. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We're up on this balance beam of life, and we got a weight tied around our ankles. And we're dragging that weight, and we're dragging that weight, and we're dragging that weight. You know what that weight is? It's those sins we won't get rid of. It's those sins we won't give to the Father. It's those sins that we sort of love. If we got rid of that weight, how much easier would this life be to live for God? How much easier would this life be able to peripateo for God? To walk according to His principles and His rules and His guidelines. To walk according and taking use of all the opportunities before us. To walk according to progressing towards a goal. Let us walk. And as we walk this life, it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. We have to keep our eyes on Christ. We must keep our eyes on Christ if we're going to walk to please Him. And then it says in verse 3, for consider Him. Consider what He has done for you so that our lives might be pleasing to Him. That is peripateo. In our Bible, it's translated to walk. Oh, it means so much more. Let us see this lesson. Allow the Holy Spirit to indwell in our hearts that we might walk for God, pleasing Him. Lord, we thank You so much for this opportunity to share what You have put in my heart this week. And I pray the Holy Spirit, dear Lord, now will use these words, dear Lord, to continue to remind us all to peripateo for You. We love You, Lord. We thank You so much for the opportunity to serve You and live for You. I pray now that You bless our pastor in the next hour. Be with him. Give him the strength and the power that he needs to lift up the name of Christ and to honor Christ. I pray, dear Lord, that You would bless every person that will be in attendance in the next hour, here and in the hill, with the children's ministries, dear Lord. I pray that You would speak to hearts. And that if, Lord, there is one that does not know You as their personal Savior, today would be their day of salvation. Allow them to see their need and not to delay, but to come to You. We love and thank You, Lord, for all that You do for us. Thank You for this word that we have. Allow it to be precious to us. In Jesus' precious name we pray and ask this.